You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
Sports Talk, Prater in the Ballgame. I just scared the bejesus out of my cat who was sitting on the couch next to me. She had not seen me perform the show like this, and she just flew out of here. That I know. I can tell it's going to be a good one. What's going on? Welcome. I'm Johnny Ballgame. My partner in crime, Mike Prater. We got JP. We got KJ running the board. We are all from our own locations. We will be this way the rest of the week. There's snow all over the place, guys. Welcome to Idaho Sports Talk. Prater got a haircut. Prater got a haircut. What's up, man? Looking good.
First time in 2 months, I feel like I went on a diet ball game. It feels good to lose about 20 pounds. And by the way, you have a cat story? I'm going to use the next 30 seconds to tell my dog story. JP, I have a company issue. I'm not sure you guys can even hear me, but my lovable dog, Bruce, ate half the headphones overnight. My headphones, they're half gone. Am I going to get charged for that if my dog ate the company headphones?
Yes, unless you can get a vet signature saying that you had to take him to the vet and had it surgically removed, Prater.
My dog ate the homework. I mean, I'm sorry, the headphones, and I'm hoping they work. I can hope you hear me. I got dangling wires in my right ear, and the soft, fuzzy stuff is gone. But ball game, we're going to make this show a rock star no matter what.
Everybody makes fun of our headsets at this company, and I feel sorry for your dog, Bruce, because eating a headset that's been used by Paul J. Schneider calling D. Pickett Boise State football games might make your damn dog sick. I hope he's okay.
That was my comeback to JP if he told me he was going to charge me for the value of these headsets. My dad started his broadcasting career in the 1960s. I think he passed these down. These suckers are 60 years old. JP, they're worth 6 cents. I'll give you 3 cents for my dog. The rest of it's good to go.
We all look like helicopter pilots, guys, in Vietnam with these headsets on. Beautiful stuff, you guys. Be a part of the show today. The Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, Cloverdale Plumbing Text Line, 208-424-9300. Speak now, speak often, because Prater, we got a lot going on with today's show, and it starts here in about 10 minutes. The Treasure Valley sports icon, if you will, Cody Pickett, is coming on our show to tell a very important story that's went on with him and his family and his Eagle basketball family. But Cody Pickett, right around the corner, man.
I'll tell you what, the one thing that you and I do best, my friend, for good and for bad, sometimes we like to make grown men cry, and that's exactly what we're going to do at 3:15. We're going to make a grown man cry because he's got himself one hell of an inspiring story.
Yes, he does. That's coming up. Bob Beeler will preview the Broncos in Logan tonight. You got yourself a Boise State basketball game. Can the streak hit 11? We'll get there, too. DeMario Warren, new Boise State cornerbacks coach. You will get to know him in about an hour. And Prater, we missed this guy last week because the COVID situation with our team here at KTIK, but we can finally introduce the newest member of our team, our NFL playoff correspondent, former head coach Dirk Cutter.
You know, it takes six people to put this show together sometimes. The five of us, including KJ, who's filling in on the board. And now we're going to add Dirk Cutter to our payroll. By the way, JP, I told him we'd pay him a lot of cash. He's a former NFL head football coach. He's a former Boise State football coach. He's going to join us every week throughout these playoffs. He's officially the KTIK Idaho Sports Talk NFL playoff correspondent. And JP, he is getting paid. So I'm sending you a headphone bill, and I'm sending you a Dirk Cutter payroll bill. Fire up the cash, JP.
See, this is, Prater, if you look at my background in Zoom right here, that's why there's nothing on the walls. You guys have all this cool stuff. Johnny's got a nice, you know, mantle background. Prater's got decorations. KJ's even got tech. I've got nothing because I got to sell everything for headphones and Dirk Cutter.
I love it.
JP, do you have one picture hanging on any wall in your home?
Yes. Actually, the room I'm in has pictures. They're actually concert posters on other side, but just nothing behind me. I'm going to have to sell them for Dirk Cutter.
It's going to be a good one today, guys. So we're loaded up. We're excited about Idaho Sports Talk today, Prater. How do we want to start this sucker out? Do we have any Kellen Moore news to report? Anything else flying around there?
Yeah, Kellen Moore. Let's play the hits. The hits around here are Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore is having himself one heck of a week. Since we left the station last night, since we left the air last night, Kellen Moore has completed his interview with the Minnesota Vikings. So, to recap, Kellen Moore has interviewed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kellen Moore has interviewed with the Denver Broncos, and Kellen Moore is interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings. It's a weird new world out there where these football teams are being very transparent and parading these coaching candidates out there almost like they're bragging about them, promoting them, showing off their candidates, saying, these are the six candidates that we're going after. A world that used to be so deep, dark, and secret is now this big public social media affair, so the information's easy to figure out right now. Those things have happened for a fact. He's going to interview with the Miami Dolphins this afternoon. It's probably happening as we speak, or maybe even just wrapped up. And then the Houston Texans, the New York Giants, and the Chicago Bears have no interest in Kellen Moore. At least publicly, at least right now, things could change. I know Kellen Moore is still out there grinding and doing his thing, and McCarthy's still responding to the playoff disaster from the weekend, and I heard Rich Eisen beating up both of them in the show right before us. So Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy, the Dallas Cowboys are news 365, aren't they, ballgame?
They are. How big of a deal is it to the general Boise State sports fan living in Boise, Idaho, that Kellen Moore gets to become, if it's not this year, possibly at some point in his career, a head coach of an NFL franchise? I mean, if you're still in the newspaper business, Prater, and you're putting that front page sports page together, when Kellen, if and when, gets hired to be a head coach, I mean, would that be 3-inch headlines, big picture? I mean, how big a story is that, Mr. Newspaper Man, if Kellen Moore gets a head coaching gig on the NFL level here in Boise?
Well, back in the day when I was in charge, ball game, it was going to be a 6-page special section. We're calling in the troops. Everybody's working overtime. We're working well after midnight, and we're putting out ourselves a 6-page special section because Kellen Moore is the GOAT around here. Kellen Moore is the man. So, obviously, the newspaper times have changed, but Kellen Moore, yes, big story. If Kellen Moore becomes an NFL head coach, here's the weird part, though. Maybe since he's, what, junior year? The offseason between his sophomore year and his junior year, we knew that this guy was going to be an NFL head football coach. At least we kept saying it. We kept saying it over and over again. It's happening fast, ball game. I'm not sure if it's going to happen this year. As a matter of fact, I don't want it to happen this year.
Yeah.
I don't want Kellen to get a head coaching job right now. I don't want him with Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota, or Miami. We're going to talk about this all week long in terms of our favorite landing spot for Kellen Moore. But I want Kellen Moore to go back to the Dallas Cowboys. And yesterday I was fairly convinced that McCarthy and Kellen Moore were going to stick together. I'm more convinced today that McCarthy and Kellen Moore will go into the next National Football League season as Coach A and Offensive Coach B for the Dallas Cowboys.
That's an interesting question Prater brings up, and I want to throw that to our listeners. Just simple text, yes or no, and we'll keep track here. Do you want Kellen Moore to get an NFL head coaching job now, this season? Just text me yes or no, 208-424-9300.
Ball game. What are you doing, dude?
I think a lot of people are going to say no because they agree with what you're saying. I love him so much, I want to keep him in Dallas for one more year.
Well, of course they're going to agree with me because I'm right, but that's not what I'm talking about. You want everybody to text you. Your phone is busy. Your phone has been very busy. Your text messaging service has been very busy. are the rumors true?
I heard
a little birdie chirp in my ear last night that you were texting Kellen Moore last night, as you do all the time. I think you were sober last night, so that's good on you. You're getting better at that.
Thank you.
And in this particular case, is it true that he responded back? The busiest man in the National Football League? He's juggling 7,000 jobs. He's juggling controversy. He might be in the first, funk of his entire career because of one bad play call. And he texted you back last night?
He did, man. I got a text from Kellen Moore last night, 24 minutes after I sent it to him. That's a pretty good time, right? To be under that 25-minute cutoff. Right? That's not the text that you send back somebody 3 days later because, A, you want to be polite, and, B, you really don't want to talk to that dude, so you text him 3 days later, right? Under the 25-minute threshold, Prater, not too shabbies.
Oh, I'm very impressed. All right, I want to know the details. What was the question? What did you send him?
Okay.
Come clean, ball game.
This is breaking Kellen Moore news from straight from his phone last night. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but let me just say this. He loves Nate Potter, and he is absolutely pumped beyond belief that Nate Potter is the tight ends coach at Boise State. That is the gist of everything that he texted me. It has nothing to do about the coaching carousel. He gave me nothing there. Just he is really excited for one of his best friends, Nate Potter, to be back coaching at Boise State. So, yeah, not a lot to play with there, Prater. Duh, right? Of course he's excited for the guy.
I think I believe you, ball game, but I have a feeling there's more sexiness to that text message than that.
I wish there was, and you know me. I have no shame in my game whatsoever. I will name drop anybody if I think it'll further anybody. Or myself, period.
This is not the end of this is not the end of the story, ball game. Okay, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. I'm a skeptical reporter. There's more to the story. I wanna find out what more to the story is.
Alright, let's get there. Let's get back there. But first, how about Cody Pickett? Boys basketball coach, Eagle High School, former NFL football quarterback, and a star for the Washington Huskies. His story, it's been out in the public. You will hear straight from Cody. When we come back, do not miss this interview. Cody Pickett next. Prater in the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Put your Amazon listening device to good use. Enable the Sports Radio The Ticket skill. Then listen to all your favorite shows by saying, Alexa, open Sports Radio The Ticket Boise. Plus, stream us on our app or at KTIK.com.
Guests in a really interesting local story that we want him to tell. Treasure Valley sports icon Cody Pickett joining us. Men's basketball coach at Eagle High School, former NFL quarterback and star for the Washington Huskies. Cody, welcome back to Idaho Sports Talk, my friend.
Hey, how we doing, guys? I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, Cody. Just the story. You know, went through a little bit of a health scare lately. A lot of people have been following this on social media, but for some people maybe who haven't, Cody, what happened, man?
Yeah, kind of a whirlwind, especially the last 2 weeks, a whirlwind last couple of weeks. But a real long story short, I have heart disease that I didn't know that I had. I have an uncle who passed away this June. A guy who was in great health. He's been an actor for a long, long time, my Uncle Jay. Was on a movie set and had a massive heart attack, was 90% blocked. That happened this summer in June. And so since then, a lot of my family members have been getting checked out. And you know, I feel great. And like you said earlier, I'm the high school basketball coach at Eagle. I play with my guys all the time. Feel like I'm in good shape for a guy who's 41 years old. But fast forward a couple tests here and there, high calcium score, high CT scan, and next thing you know, I'm getting an angiogram to get a stent put in my heart. Well, that happened on December 30th. I went in for an angiogram, thought it was going to be a routine procedure, go in and put a stent if need be. The nurses said, hey, you don't look like the normal guy that usually is in here. You know, you're in good shape, you're young. And long story short, came out, and my wife was pretty shook up, was in tears, and they told me that I had to have emergency open heart surgery. So that kind of was just a crazy, crazy turn of events. So we sat in the hospital for a while, then they let me go and sat around for a couple of weeks thinking I was going to have open heart surgery until I was, or for a week until I was lucky enough to have my wife put it on social media and was put in touch with Dr. Lombardi, the University of Washington Medical Center.
And what happened? And after that, Cody, what happened after that?
Yeah. So that happened on December 30th. And on December 30th, came out thinking I was going to have open heart surgery the following Friday. The whole moral of the story is if you have family history of heart disease, you've got to get yourself checked out because, I mean, goodness gracious, there. When I came out of there and they said, hey, you have to have open heart surgery, like, what are you talking about? I mean, I feel totally normal, the same way I felt for the last 20 years. You know, how could you be saying this? So it was New Year's Day. My wife decided to put a post out on social media. And it spread like crazy. I didn't want her to. I'm a reserved guy. I didn't want to put our business out there. But I'm so thankful that she did because she put it out there, and it had 1,000 likes and 500 comments. And a guy named Channing Wiles, who was a punter for the Huskies 1986 to 1991, he doesn't even have Facebook. He had his wife reach out to Carly and to say, hey, my husband's in the interventional cardiology space for the past 21 years. He knows Dr. Bill Lombardi at the University of Washington Medical Center. He's a Husky fan. I told him about Cody's story, and it's worth a second opinion prior to you having open heart surgery. So that's how that started. And so I sent a text to Channing and said, hey, Channing, absolutely. Any other second opinion would be fantastic if you could have him reach out. And he said, I just got off the phone with him. He's calling you now. And this is on New Year's Day. He called me on New Year's Day, talked to me for about 35 minutes, just was wonderful, wonderful, and said, hey, you know, it's a free country. You can go have open heart surgery. You know, that's, they split you open. They put some new pipes in you, and, but there's no more hoops. You won't be coaching the rest of the season. Wow. You know, you'll be out the whole season, or you can flap and see me and we'll see if we can get something done. So I obviously said, yes, please let me fly up. Let me see you. So I flew up on January 10th. I checked in the hospital about 10 o'clock. My procedure was supposed to be at 2:00. It didn't happen till 3:45 because they're just so backed up there. 45-minute procedure. He was able to go in. I was awake for the whole process. They went through my arm, and they were able to place the complex stent. I came out of the procedure and watched my team play that night against Boise. They got a win, and I asked Dr. Lombardi. I said, hey, thank you so much. I mean, I was teared up, just, oh, my gosh, you saved me from having to have open heart surgery. The next step is, when can I be back with my team? We have a game on Saturday. Can I be back with them? And he said, as long as you win. So there we go. I was back with my team on Saturday, and we got a win, and here we are.
We're talking to Cody Pickett, Eagle High School boys basketball coach, but his resume is much deeper than that. Caldwell High, University of Washington, the National Football League. Heck, he was even a Heisman Trophy candidate and a Rose Bowl champion. Cody Pickett, you're this big macho football player coach, and I know you're 41 and healthy. Talk to me about the mental side of what you had to go through, because when you first heard that, I'm guessing you said, nah, not me. That didn't happen to me. And it took some time for your emotions to kind of capture this. Thank God for your wife, because they take care of stuff like this. But how was it emotionally for you to go through this initially?
Oh, it was a roller coaster. I don't know if I've, you know, cried so much or been, you know, so shook up ever in my life, because, I mean, this is a week of, oh my gosh, I'm going to have it. I'm not going to have it. You know, when you think open heart surgery, it doesn't, you know, you don't Google that process, because it's not always the best result, you know, and you got three little kids at home. You know, that's my biggest fear, is not being there for my kids, you know. So it was an emotional roller coaster, you know, emotional roller coaster. Now, you know, I love my team at Eagle High School. I've got a great group of guys. I just truly love being with them every single day. And even if everything went well with the open heart surgery, I was going to be gone for the season. And that was, so that really shook me up. So, and all this time, guys, I mean, I feel like I've felt the last 10 or 15 years. I feel the same. And so that's why this whole thing is so scary. You know, that's why people, you know, in their 40s and 50s that are seen to be in good health, aren't with us anymore, because there's no detection. There's no symptoms. And that's what I told Dr. Lombardi is, you know, hey, I have no symptoms. He goes, stop. Your uncle didn't either. So I guess that's the main moral of this story is early detection and getting yourself checked with family history is something you need to do.
How does this change you then, in terms of, are you going to be more vocal in terms of that? Because you got a pretty powerful message. You got a very inspiring message. And I'm sure you were in denial in the beginning, but right now it's pretty dang serious. And so how much do you plan on kind of taking advantage of the platform you have and promoting men's health and men's awareness?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, and Johnny knows this, and Kim Griddle's up in Seattle. I always try to dodge the media, or, you know, try to stay in my own lane and not really say things. But this is important. And it's crazy. It's crazy in the last couple of weeks how many people that have reached out to me that have said they either had an issue or had a family member with issues. So, yeah, hopefully there can be, you know, I don't want it to sound corny or whatever, but somebody's life could be saved because they could go get checked. They've heard that, they hear this on the radio, and he thought, you know what, I had an uncle or a grandpa or somebody, and they could go get checked out and save themselves before something happens. Because if my uncle hadn't passed away, I mean, I'm an active guy. I never like sitting around. I don't leave a second of the day untapped. So I would have been down posting my guys up, trying to play with them, and just kind of pushing through all this, not knowing that I was significantly blocked in an artery that could, you know, it could give you a heart attack.
Cody Pickett with us, Eagle boys basketball varsity head coach. And so are you back to playing with the guys? Probably not, but is that the goal? I mean, I know you like to golf, Cody. You golf all the time. You're still throwing the ball off the glass and catching it in the air and dunking it, even in your 40s. I see the highlights and stuff. But what's the end? I mean, are you going to be where you were before this whole deal eventually, or are you even there right now?
That's my goal, Johnny. I got to get back. Right now, I'm taking it easy. I'm just treadmilling it. I got in the weight room a little bit yesterday and got some squats in. But yeah, my goal is to get back to where I can throw it off the glass and put it down. Right now, there's no chance that would happen. But I got to get one more. I got to get one more video put out to you before I let the old man in here. So that is the goal, to get myself back in shape. I can't play with my guys right now because my pride would probably be hurt. They'd probably rough me up right now. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll be working towards getting back on the court with them playing. But as far as coaching, I'm there. We had a great win last week on Saturday. And, yeah, I'm in the gym and just trying to ease my way back into things. You know, when you're on a blood thinner and a statin and all these different things to keep you cleaned out, it takes you a little bit of time to get your body back. So I'm excited to try to find that new normal.
Cody Pickett, we're with three dudes here, and we all love football, and we all understand the power of football, but I'm fascinated by your story, and you mentioned Channing Wiles, the former Washington punter, and how this networking came about. So, and talk about your Washington football family, because when you went to Seattle, the football team was responding to what you were doing. I think that they were there on the site with some cards and some stuff of encouragement. The power of football, dude, may have saved your life.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's, you know, the game of football, it's, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed that I was in a position to have an opportunity to go play football. It makes me emotional thinking about it. I was a guy that come from Caldwell, Idaho, and had an opportunity to go to a lot of different places. And from day one, I knew I wanted to be a Husky. You know, Johnny knows that. I always knew I wanted to be a Husky. I had offers from a lot of places, not to brag, but the reality of it is, I mean, I could have went to Purdue or Texas or Tennessee or a lot of places in the Pac-10. But always just knew that, that Washington was home. And here we are, fast forward 20 years, you know, and the love and the reception that I've gotten from up there is just, it's amazing. And, you know, the old saying, you know, you bleed purple or whatever it is. I mean, I was a loyal Husky, you know, been hard to ever change that, but now it's just even deeper, you know, going back to the UW Medical Center. It's been, I think it was 19 years since I was there last time. I had shoulder surgery. You walk out the front doors, and when you walk out, the stadium is right there. I mean, it's a driver pitching wedge to the field. Yep. I mean, it's right there. Yep. So, I mean, that was an emotional night too, you know, walking out there. I mean, literally I teared up like, wow, there's the stadium where I played for 5 years. And I just walked out with a stent in my chest, saved me from having open heart surgery. And there's the stadium that I played at. So, yeah, in the Husky football family, I mean, Jen Cohen, she sent texts. She's amazing. She's our AD up there. You know, Coach Abor, you know, Kalen sent me 3 or 4 texts. Ali Marks is a good buddy of mine. He played at Boise State and is now the running backs coach at UW. So my love for UW is just that much stronger.
Cody Pickett with us. And, you know, it's funny, you talk about football and all this and your love. And, man, you're a basketball coach and a darn successful one. State champion with the women. And now you've switched over to the boys at Eagle. And talk about that a little bit, just you. And I know how competitive you are, Cody. You tried to beat me in a race wearing cowboy boots once, and I chickened out. I didn't want to race you. You were that competitive on that thing. You probably would have kicked my butt. But how's this team going? How has your team responded to all this? And you're just a coach, aren't you, man?
I love it. Yeah, I love the game of basketball. You know, football gave me great opportunities and great relationships, but I love the game of basketball. And you know, I'm blessed to be at Eagle High School. I've been there. This is my 9th year being at Eagle High School. Everybody at Eagle is fantastic in supporting me and what we're trying to do there and winning a state championship. And, yeah, I just love it. I got a great group of kids. You know, they'll run through the wall for you. We're as talented as anybody in the state. And we're excited about where we're going. So we got a lot of work to do, but we're excited about our future. And hopefully we can put a good strong finish to the end of our year. And I got to thank all my coaching staff because I missed 4 games. I mean, I don't miss practice. I mean, my son was born. I was still trying to get to practice that day, you know? So for me, missing 4 games were, it was tough. You know, and my old high school coach is my assistant. He's 75 years old and battling cancer for the third time. So he held it down well for me while I was gone.
Cody Pickett, there's no doubt about it. This changes your life. So how does your life change moving forward in terms of, do you have to worry about diet? You got this stent in your body, but how do you have to monitor yourself? Or I don't want to say, do you have this false sense of security that you're going to be just fine moving forward? Because all men feel that a little bit, but this had to be a pretty sobering reminder and certainly a change for the rest of your life.
No, that's a great question. That's a great question. You know, I'm always a glass half full guy. You know, no matter what's going on, I'm going to be positive and spin it in a positive way. But you know, I mean, just being thankful for every minute you get to, you know, be here, you know, so I'm going to try to live in the moment a little bit better than I have. You know, I'm a forward thinker and I try to always think forward in the next step and the next move. I'm going to try to be present in the moment a little bit better because, you know, that's a good eye opener to think that, you know, something could happen in your 40s. As far as diet and health, I've always been pretty good. But yeah, and I'm moving towards more of a plant-based diet, which is kind of weird for a guy that grew up on Chicken Dinner Road with a grandpa who's a cow buyer when you ate steak and potatoes a lot. So that's going to be a new norm for me trying to eat twig and berries or whatever, but, you know, we'll figure it out, you know, and get this blood thinner and this statin and try to find a new normal. But, it is a good midlife wake up call to, you know, kind of looking at things a little bit different.
I'll leave you with this, Cody. Again, Cody Pickett with us. I remember Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN predicting Cody Pickett to win the Heisman Trophy in 2003. What a moment that was. But, Cody, your rock, your support system, you know, I love her. Carly Pickett, your wife, what a great decision it was for you. She probably picked you. I should probably reverse that. But the three kids, as busy as you guys are, everything she does, all the shuffling, like, I totally know you. You didn't want to go on social media and post this. You probably fought her on that, but she was right, and it changed your life. And just talk a little bit about your wife, your better half, man. She's such a rock for you.
She is, man. You're trying to make me emotional on the radio,
yes,
Johnny. Come on, man.
I'm trying to make you cry.
You're, it's a good thing it's a radio interview, not a TV. But yeah, she is. She's my rock. She's our family's glue. She does so much for me. And, you know, she's been around for, I mean, gosh, we've been together since 1997. So she is my rock in every way. And, I fought her on this. You're not putting it out there. You're not putting it out there. She said, Cody, people need to know, and they need to know exactly what happens instead of the rumors. So, she keeps us together, my whole family in every way. And I'm so thankful. She was right. You know, and my buddy Jeff, my business partner, you know, those two together just, you know, kind of said, hey, people need to know about this. And as much as I didn't want them to, I'm so, so thankful they did, because it's saved my situation from having an open heart surgery. And hopefully it saves some other people to get checked early.
Cody, Ballgame and myself need lots of help in this department. I worry about my friend Ballgame here. I know you love him dearly as well. And, you know, he's chugging Red Bulls and eating cheeseburgers for lunch. And just look at me. I mean, I'm a complete total dumpster fire here. So there's no way that you should be in this position. And Johnny and I feel like we're healthy and invincible. So what kind of advice do you have for two knuckleheads like us?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Maybe I need to listen to you guys. Maybe I need to start drinking energy drinks or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong here. I would say don't judge a book by its cover. Just because you look a certain way doesn't mean your insides are a certain way. But, yeah, you guys keep doing what you're doing. I always love talking to you, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely, Cody. Go work on that state championship to Eagle, and, I got to get out there and watch your team play one of these times. Thank you for the time, man, and best of luck. And we're always here when you need us, Cody. If you ever want to come on for any reason, just reach out, my friend. Thank you.
I love it, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Appreciate that. And, gosh, what a story that was. What a courageous battle, and what a great family he has. On and off the court, Cody Pickett with us. Coming up, how about Leon Rice telling you the keys to his Broncos beating Utah State tonight in Logan. Next, JP's got the news. Brent on the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk.
With Sports Radio The Ticket, we'll never raise your subscription price because we're free. Putting money in your pocket every time you listen. Sports Radio The Ticket. Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Stick around. We will check in with Bob Beeler in just a couple of minutes. Bronco Focus. Apparently, Bob had some sort of nice luxury bus ride down to Logan, Utah for the game tonight to get maybe get some details of that. But Boise State looking to push their win streak to 11 games tonight. They play at Utah State and Logan. The Aggies come into the game limping a little bit on a three-game losing streak after losses to Colorado State, Wyoming, and then just Fresno State on Tuesday night. We've got an early coaches show tonight on 670 KBOI leading into a Bob and Abe's pregame show. And Leon Rice will talk about the keys to beating Utah State tonight on the road.
You know, our energy and effort, that's been supreme. You can't let, because of the amount of games we've had to play recently, you can't let that drop. And that's going to be, like I said, that's one of those easier said than done things. I mean, yeah, we got to not let our mind talk us into being tired or making excuses, or we have to just be understand that, hey, we just got to go play the four hardest minutes we can play and then just keep chunking it out that way too.
Tip off tonight, 7 o'clock on KBOI. Other games tonight, UNLV plays at Air Force. And then last night, Wyoming beat San Jose State. Colorado State knocked off New Mexico as things kind of tighten up at the top of the Mountain West basketball standings. Checking on, actually keeping with a little bit of Boise State basketball hoops, former Boise State hoop star Derek Alston Jr., he's been putting up some great numbers for the Salt Lake City Stars of the G League. Four games this season so far, he's averaging 21 points per game and is shooting over 50% from the field and better than 7 rebounds per game. And he's getting a lot of playing time, about 36 minutes of playing time per game. Kobe Carl, on the other hand, he's the coach of the Delaware Bluecoats. He's got them at 3-2 on the season as some of those G League games have been postponed because of COVID this year. So
Prater,
keep an eye on those guys.
Sorry about that, JP. Prater, can you imagine if the Idaho Stampede were still in existence with the G League, a team I used to work for, can you imagine Derek Alston would be here in Boise playing for the Idaho Stampede because they became the Salt Lake City Stars? That'd be trippy, man, if DA was still in Boise balling.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. But unfortunately, it didn't happen, and we can only hope and dream, Johnny Ballgame.
Yeah.
Finally, it's officially mock draft season. ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. put out his first mock draft 1.0, and he's got Michigan defensive end Aiden Hutchinson going with the first pick of the draft to the Jaguars. I think you were kind of high on him, Prater, for your Heisman Trophy, weren't you, late in the season?
Yes, sir.
And remember all the talk about Carson Strong of Nevada potentially being a first-round draft pick, one of the high picks?
Yeah.
Well, Kiper's got four quarterbacks going in the first round. No Carson Strong. He's got the Liberty quarterback, Malik Willis, as the number one quarterback going in his draft so far. Kenny Pickett of Pitt, Matt Corral of Ole Miss, and Sam Howell of North Carolina. Those are the four quarterbacks he's got going in the first round. And then he does have Colorado State tight end Trey McBride as the last pick in the first round going to the Packers. So,
any future Steelers there, Prater?
One of those quarterbacks, I'll take any of the four. I don't care which one. I'll take any of those four quarterbacks.
They had success with a lower level quarterback, Prater. Maybe the Liberty guy is your new guy, Malik Willis.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, the level when it comes to quarterbacks, I don't think the level matters. And if you're a good quarterback, you're a good quarterback. I don't think any four. It's actually a very weak quarterback class, if you ask me. It's a very weak quarterback class. But the Steelers are desperate, and it's either going to be Mason Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, or one of these new four guys, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Oh, the life of a Steelers fan. Let us know about it at 208-424-9300, Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Next, Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus. The Broncos, a one-point underdog tonight to the Aggies in Logan. Bob Beeler tells us about what this game is going to be like tonight. That's Bronco Focus, and it's next. Prater of the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk. Bob Beeler now with us, Fat Guy's Fresh Deli Hotline. And Bob, JP said you were on a bus. You're back. What are you, calling games for the Chattanooga Lookouts again, Beeler?
Yeah.
Back in the bus leagues, huh, Beeler?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing when you do games in the East, most games are by bus. And out here, most games are by plane because Utah State is the closest team, and it's about a 4.5-hour ride. And we left yesterday, and I have to say, I've been on a lot of buses with teams. This was the nicest bus and the easiest trip. The seats were big like you were at the theater. Abe Jackson and I were on the same row, and generally on a bus, we're busting up against each other. He had his side. I had my side. They had tables that if you wanted to have a little table in front of yourself, you could do work, which I did. Movies, which is a par for the course thing with teams. They watched a movie going down. So it was a different experience, probably a different experience for the players as well, because, again, the only time they use buses usually out here is from the airport to the hotel and from the hotel to the gym, and that's it.
Man, Bob, I want to go on this bus.
Yeah.
Raider sounds like a dream cruise, man.
Bob, did this bus come with beverage and cocktail and dinner service?
I'm sure you could probably ask for it, but no, it was not the case. But hey, it was much more comfortable than I was thinking, and buses have come a long way.
Traveling in style. The game tonight, 7 p.m. in Logan against Utah State. Bob mentioned Utah State's been struggling lately in this league. What have you seen? Why? Why is Utah State in a slump right now?
Sometimes it's as easy as looking at some numbers. They're 1-4 in the conference, and in league games, they are shooting 19% from three-point range. 19%. Opponents in the five games have shot 39%. They've done a pretty good job from two because they're shooting 44% overall, but they just can't hit the broadside of the barn. Now, they have guys that can shoot, and I guess the thing that you always worry about is that, you know, maybe all of a sudden they start to find the range at home. But this is a team that passes real well. They're one of the top assisting teams in the country. They've got some people who can score, but in the conference games, they have really struggled. Now, they have a new coach, and they lost Nemish Keita, the big 7-footer that's now playing in the G League for the Kings. So not nearly as formidable inside. So, I don't think this Utah State team should be as good as the one they had the last couple of years, 2 years ago, especially when they had Keita inside and Sam Merrill outside. Merrill's with the Bucks now. But I would think that, you hope that maybe they don't find their three-point shooting tonight at home.
Talking to Bob Beeler live from Logan, Utah, getting ready for tonight's Boise State-Utah State basketball game. Starts at 7 o'clock on our sister station, KBOI, 670 a.m. All right, Bob, you just outlined that Utah State is struggling. That leads me to one simple question. Does that mean Boise State has a chance tonight?
They certainly do. When you look at the history, and I'm sure Bronco basketball fans know that Boise State had never won at Utah State until Coach Rice got here. They've won just 3 out of 23 total.
Wow.
So that's not a blue like, New Mexico has won one time coming into the blue. So it's kind of like those statistics for Boise State basketball in history. You know, it's a tough place to play, but it's also a place, where they've had good teams too. I think Boise State has the better team tonight. I think if Boise State plays its cards right, shoots well enough, I think it's going to be a difficult game tonight, but I think this is going to be one that's going to go in the win column, and Boise State needs this one because you want to stay in first place. San Diego State coming Saturday, they're unbeaten. Wyoming, who they're hosting next Tuesday, also unbeaten. They won again last night.
This 10-game winning streak, we've talked a lot about that this week, and certainly 11 could happen after tonight, but what's been the most impressive part of this winning streak, Bob?
Well, I think that it's been different guys. It isn't like one guy you're relying on. They've also won different ways. They've won some games where they've shot the ball well. They've won some games where they just pounded the opponent on the glass. You know, they got outshot and out-rebounded by Air Force, but they found a way to win. They forced 20 turnovers in that game. They didn't hit their free throws in that game, but Air Force's free throws were worse. So this is a team that has found ways to win, and I think that to get on a winning streak, when you have different guys that are maybe your lead guy each night and coming through in different ways, to me, that says you have a good team.
Bob, tell us about the coverage tonight.
Well, we've got an extra dose of coverage tonight because we've got Inside Bronco Basketball, which normally airs Thursday night at 6 on 670 KBOI. It's going to air at 5:30 tonight. We'll hear from Tyson Degenhart. We're going to even have a hypothetical one-on-one game that we're going to talk to him about Tyson Degenhart, senior in high school versus Tyson Degenhart, freshman. He's going to tell you where he is better. Again, that show goes from 5:30 to 6:30, and then Nate Jackson and I will be on the air beginning at 6:30 with the pregame.
Now, Bob, we opened up this segment by talking about your fancy bus ride. Any truth to the rumor that you're going to be picked up by a fancy commercial flight after tonight's game in Logan to jet you straight overnight into San Diego, California?
Well, they're not picking me up, but yes, there'll be a flight to San Diego after the game. So, you know, I mean, that's one of the concessions that, you know, Boise State is stepping up. I mean, to have charter flights, I mean, if they would have had to drive to Salt Lake after the game and stay in a hotel and then get up the next morning and fly commercial from Salt Lake to San Diego, there would certainly be a lot more wear and tear on the team than by doing this tonight. So kudos to Boise State.
Appreciate you, Bob. We'll talk tomorrow. Good luck on the call tonight, and let's see if they can get that win streak to 11. Appreciate you, bud.
Let's go.
Prater, 11 games in a row. They can win tonight in Logan. That's a good stat, though. They don't win in the D. Glenn Smith spectrum very often.
That's a tough place to play. I don't care how bad or what they're doing in terms of struggling with the shooting. That's one of the best student sections in all of the Mountain West Conference. It's a tight gym. It's a fun gym. There's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of tradition there. And so, you know, there's a reason why Utah State's favored tonight. They're 1-4 in the conference. Boise State's on a 10-game winning streak, and
yeah.
Utah State's favored by one. Right? Ballgame. You're the gambling guy. Explain that to me.
Prater, I've been thinking about it all day, about just putting, like, I don't know, $50 or whatever, something little there. But I don't know. I've been so cold. I've been stone cold Steve Austin lately with my picks, Prater. I can't hit jack. So I'm scared, man. I don't know. And those guys are a lot smarter than me. Go figure.
I have a feeling that Utah State's going to be very, very pesky tonight. I don't know who's going to win. I'm not going to sit here and predict. If Boise State plays like it did against Air Force, even though it was impressive because they had to gut it out in a different kind of way, as Bob just told us, it was a pretty sloppy game. Boise State's going to play a couple of sloppy games. We're not sure when they're going to get bit. Getting bit tonight would not surprise me.
Great stuff, Bob. Who is DeMario Warren? Well, he's your new cornerbacks coach, Bronco Nation, and you're going to hear from him next. Prater on the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Doc. We love you. KTIK Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Dial Prater, we're getting after it. Hour number two. DeMario Warren, the new cornerbacks coach at Boise State University. We'll hear from him. A little overrated, underrated, and $50, my friend. Blaze Pizza on the line for today's Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture participant, man.
Love it, ballgame, love it.
What do you know about DeMario Warren before we hear from him, Prater? This obviously he was a head coach at Southern Utah, but that's kind of about it, right?
Yeah, he spent his entire coaching career there, first as assistant, then the last 6 years as a head coach. Quote unquote, mutually parted ways after this season, in which DeMario Warren was 1-10 this past season. He had an overall career record there of 21-42. Now the good news is, in 2017, he won himself a Big Sky Championship there at Southern Utah in Cedar City. A tough place to win, a tough place that's not really committed to football or even athletics. So I was pretty impressed with that. So he's got time to move on, and he's got a lot of Big Sky connections. He dropped a lot of Big Sky names today, many of them on the Boise State staff. He's got a family. He's got some daughters. He's trying to work his butt off in terms of getting his whole family here. Said he misses these four kids. So, it's a Southern California guy. He's been assigned to Southern California along the coast up to Northern California, the Bay Area, for his recruiting territory. He says he's very familiar with that. Otherwise, we got some clips here, ball game, that talks about how he envisioned himself with Boise State, how it happened, his commitment to Andy Avalosian. What makes a good cornerback?
Yeah, I was just looking, searching, seeing where the next opportunity was going, talking to a lot of different schools, and KB actually got the job, the new running back coach, and he called me up. We've known each other a long time, just in the recruiting circles, and he called me and said he thinks the corner's job might be open and would I be interested. And so once that kind of happened, the ball started rolling, and I played college football with Tim Keene and Tim Plow. And I knew Frank Male from Utah State. I knew Kane from Montana State. And so I knew a bunch of the guys, so I was excited about the opportunity. And then when I got the Zoom call with Coach Avalos, I really just felt how much passion there was for the Bronco logo, and just the whole program has got a lot of pride. They really bleed blue, and so it was something that I wanted to be a part of, something that was special, something that was long term. I mean, again, I've been a part of my program for 14 years before this, and so it felt like a family, and a lot of people wanted to be a part of it, and so it got me excited. And when I got the opportunity, I jumped at it, and I was really excited.
Pretty interesting there. He was a running back at UC Davis when Tim Plow was the quarterback and Tim Keen was on the offensive line. Very interesting relationship. Somehow UC Davis folks just find their way to the blue, Prater.
And it's been happening since, like, Cutter came here. Cutter didn't come from UC Davis, but he brought in Hawken. And you know, the whole – since 1997, I've been hearing about the Davis guy for a long, long time. And certainly Hawkins and Pete and everybody kind of took advantage of the Davis connections. The Davis connection over time is a higher thinking, more of an intellectual type of a coach. And you know what? The reputation has proven to be very, very true. That doesn't mean everybody out there is filing into that reputation, but the Davis guy is a very respected guy in college football. That's a pretty good piece of the background. That's a pretty good piece of the puzzle for your new cornerbacks coach.
Absolutely. Mike Morosky just up the road, too. DeMario Warren, the new corner coach here at Boise State. He's been with the Southern Utah program since 2008. He talked about, you know, how hard that is to leave.
It's tough. I love that place. Cedar's always going to be home. I've lived in Cedar longer than anywhere else in my life. If it wasn't for that place, I mean, my wife and I, the bond that we were able to build as a young couple moving there at 22 years old and having three kids there, and we already had one as we moved. So, I mean, we grew our family there. That's where our family grew up and grew tight-knit. And so Cedar's an amazing place, and again, hard to leave, hard to say goodbye, but really excited about going into this opportunity. Again, being a Davis person, I've always wanted to work for Chris Peterson, and so this is the closest thing that I can get to right now is to be at Boise and where he helped build, him and Dan Hawkins and Dirk Cutter, and so really excited about the history of the program, and then again, just being around the staff, there's a ton of pride that goes into it, and really excited about it. But yeah, definitely hard to leave Cedar City.
It is hard to leave Cedar City. It's a really cool town, and you know, I can't speak for it really is. I mean, it's an outdoorsy town. It's just north of St. George. The weather's pretty good. There's a little bit of snow, but it's right next to the Dixie National Forest. It's right next to, you know, the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument area, and Zion's National Park. It's a very, very, very unique and cool part of this country. I don't know what he's like away from football. Sounds like he's mostly a family guy, but I'd have a heck of a time leaving Cedar City because it's a pretty cool place, ball game.
You know, he was the head coach down there at Southern Utah, and you don't see a lot of times a jump from, say, Big Sky head coach to, you know, FBS corners coach, and that's what DeMario Warren has in front of him. And he also talked about that today, about no longer being the HC.
I'm excited. I mean, my first job was, I was 22 years old, and then I was a coordinator at, I don't know, 20-something, and then I was a young head coach. So this is the first time I've actually felt like qualified for a job that I'm getting, and excited to just go back and see how I can get better and how I can help these young men be better football players, better students, and eventually be able to use these tools that they learn at Boise State to be successful. So I'm really excited about the opportunity just to hone in on a couple guys and try to make them the best that they can be.
All right, here's the million-dollar question. Actually, a couple of these questions. Now it's starting to focus on Andy Avalos and the new cornerbacks coach and, you know, the connection there. How do they know each other? What's the vision? How are they going to work together? He first addressed the question, how well do you know Andy Avalos?
Never knew him at all. They never talked to him, spoke to him. So it was awesome that I got the call, but I think a lot of our values, a lot of our beliefs line up perfectly, and he is very passionate about this program. He works his guts out to make sure that he's doing everything that he can for us to be successful, and again, just inspired me to want to help him. Again, I've been a head coach. I didn't finish the way I wanted to finish, but I did win a championship as a head coach, and so he really just inspired me to just want to help him be successful, because he cares that much, he works that much, and he wants to do things the right way. And I think that's what I've learned the most in the first week that I've been there. And again, just really inspired me to just want to help him be successful.
You know, I like that, Prater, because, you know, I've heard a lot in coaching. It's not how good of a coach you are. It's who you know. You know, yes. Coaches hire friends. Every staff, they hire people they've worked with, people who come highly recommended, but most cases, they at least know them. I like hearing that DeMario Warren, for whatever reason, was able to take Coach Avalos' breath away, so to speak, in the interview process and say, dude, I don't know who this guy is, never heard of him, this and this, but you know what? I'm hiring him because that guy, from my understanding, is a damn good football coach, and he will help me. To me, that I love that about Avalos hiring Warren. He wasn't one of his boys, you know?
Yeah, well said, Ballgame. Well said. Obviously, he had some connections with people on Andy Avalos' staff. That's always going to help ease the transition. But for a head coach to hire somebody that he has no idea, probably didn't even know he existed. You know, probably had no idea. And Andy Avalos is, you know, he's got a little experience with some small college football. He's been around a little bit. He understands how it works. But, that speaks volumes in terms of how you connect with these guys. And, DeMario went on to talk about his vision with Andy Avalos. And I think once they got the ball rolling in terms of, hi, how are you? And hi, how are you? How do you introduce yourself on Zoom to a person you've never met before? That's kind of weird. Ultimately, DeMario Warren said he connected with Andy Avalos and his vision for Boise State football.
Yeah, honestly, we did a lot of the same stuff. When I was a D coordinator back in 2015, we ran a very similar defense. Again, some of the words are different. But the thing that I'm going to learn is how they structure installs and some of those things that that they just do a little different here, and they take pride in it. And those are the things I'm really excited about going into spring ball, because, we ran the same, a very similar defense. But the way they teach it and the way that they install it is a lot different than when we did it. And so I'm really excited to learn that. And, just trying to figure out how I fit and can help make our corners the best that they can be.
Good stuff there. Again, DeMario Warren, Boise State fan, your new cornerbacks coach. He spent the last 6 years as the head coach at Southern Utah in the Big Sky there. And what are you going to get out of DeMario Warren, Bronco Nation? You know, what type of cornerback are you going to see patrolling on the blue? DeMario Warren, your new coach, talked about what he feels makes a good cornerback.
One, you got to run. I mean, that's one of my biggest things. If you could run, we can teach you a lot of other things. And so we like length in our system. I mean, we're pressing a lot. And so we want to make sure that the guys can stay with any receiver in the country foot for foot. And we can do that. We got a great opportunity. But after that, man, we're looking for length. We're looking for hips. If you can open up your hips. And then I always want that toughness. Can you compete? At the end of the day, there's three ways that we can win. We can win at the line, we can catch up, or we can finish. And the receiver's got to do it all. And as a corner, you just got to get one of those things right. If you can lock them up at the line, they're probably not going that way. If you get behind and you finish the play, that's an incomplete pass. And so we just want our guys that are not going to give up and stay in the fight and be able to compete. And that's really what Boise State's all about. And so I'm excited to be in the program that's going to be preaching the same things that we need to have great corners.
Ballgame, I'm going to go out on a limb and say DeMario Warren was gifted a pretty nice cornerbacks room at Boise State. We have no idea what Boise State's roster is looking like going forward. On the website right now, there are 9 cornerbacks still listed, and I'm not sure what that means, because Andy Avalos and his crew are still having to make some public announcements about super seniors and who's coming back in roster maintenance here. You know, there might be some announcement on some super seniors tomorrow coming out of Boise State. I don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think they're getting close to it. But right now, listed on this roster, you still have Markel Reed, the younger Kaniho brother, Jared Reed, Tyreek LaBeouf, Damon Cole, Caleb Biggers. All those guys are still listed on the roster, and all of them are either growing into their senior years or could be super seniors if they're coming back. Again, I'm not sure who's coming back. I just can tell you that on this paper, on this online roster where Boise State keeps it pretty up to date, those guys are still listed. There's a really, really strong cornerback room right there. You only need 2 of them, and you got yourself about 6 of them. Ballgame. DeMario Warren, he landed the lottery with Boise State's cornerback room.
I think I could agree with that. Definitely an experienced group. And, you know, is there a tougher position to play in FBS football now than corner? I mean, no. The receivers are better athletes than they have ever been before in the position, Prater. This is not our day. This is not Steve Largent or Charlie Joyner running around. These dudes are thoroughbred athletes at that position now in corner, sticking with these guys with the offense and the tempo as a difficult, difficult position to play. I like what I hear from DeMario Ward. I think Boise State in the secondary, along with Kane Ione, I think they're in good hands with that secondary.
Ball game, what are you talking about? I mean, Khalil Shakir, that guy was easy to cover. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Must have been a merry-go-round for those guys. Just another park ride for those corners, Prater. But no, all kidding aside, tough position to play, and corner coach, you got to have a good one today. And let's hope Andy Avalos hit that right with DeMario Warren. Overrated or underrated? One of our favorite games. We're playing it next. We want you to play at home. Prater in the ball game. KTIK the ticket.
Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the ball game presents Overrated, Underrated. Lots of different topics with no middle ground. You can tell us what you think on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line at 208-424-9300. Okay, time to bring it, Johnny.
I've been excited about this one all day. Listeners, there's really no better segment to get to know deep in the soul of John Patrick and Michael Forrest Prater than a little overrated and underrated. Forrest, I'm starting with you, man. Being a total slob in a hotel room, is that overrated or underrated?
Overrated. I may look sloppy. I may look like a slob, but I'm actually one of those anal neat freaks, you know. I walk around and I make sure that the picture is hanging symmetrically on the wall. I make sure that the paper towels are in a corner perfectly. I am one of those. Look at my desk, ball game. It's what? Empty and everything's in the same place. I'm one of those weird guys. No, it helps reduce the stress. Reducing clutter reduces stress. It's worked for me for a long time, ball game. A hotel room must be absolutely immaculate and perfectly organized.
JP.
Wow, Prater, I didn't know you were quite that anal retentive. I know I am, but that surprises me a little bit. I'm going to say it's overrated as well, Johnny, because, you know, we've been quarantined, if you will, for the last, 6 days or so. So I've been upstairs in my house, so I'm kind of in kind of a hotel room setting, and I have to have it kind of neat because I don't feel organized. I don't feel like I can get anything done if I'm not. And today I actually, like, you know, I have some clothes that were, you know, kind of thrown in the corner. I had to fold them and put them on down. It stresses me out if it's too messy. So I'm going to say that's totally overrated, Johnny. Overrated.
Oh, gosh. Me and my girlfriend just trash hotel rooms, man. Gummy bear wrappers, Slim Jim wrappers, towels in the corner. Oh, I love leaving a hotel room nice and sloppy. Next one, JP, tortillas. A good old-fashioned tortilla. Is that overrated or underrated?
Well, what's in it? Is there anything in it? Are you just talking about a tortilla?
Just a tortilla. Well, I mean, obviously, I would hope you're going to put stuff in it, but just the whole usefulness of a tortilla. Is it overrated or underrated?
The usefulness of a tortilla is it's underrated, but it depends on what you put in it. You know, if you're making a quesadilla with some chicken and some cheese and it's nicely toasted on both sides, absolutely. Mm. I'm an expert at toasting tortillas on the stove. You put a little Pam in a pan, and you just kind of spin it around till it starts to get, and then you just flip it over. I'm going to say underrated, Johnny. Underrated on the tortillas.
Prater.
Well, JP's answer was highly overrated. He's an expert at cooking tortillas on the stove.
I am an expert at cooking, yes.
That's the first thing a man learns, because it takes you 30 seconds to cook a tortilla, and you have a 99% success rate of not screwing it up. JP, if you're bragging about not screwing up a tortilla, that's a pretty sad thing to say. A tortilla
is like
100%,
100% though, Fred. I'm 100%.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna assume at one time you burned one. No, they're overrated. It's like a piece of bread. It just gets in the way of the good stuff. I don't need a stinking tortilla. Give me a fajita, some steak, some onions, some peppers. I don't need no stinking tortilla.
Prater, we'll start with you this time. Kyle Shanahan, head coach, is he overrated or underrated? Shanahan.
Ooh, I didn't know we were diving deep into the X's and O's of the National Football League. Right now, I'm going to say he's a little underrated still, but he better get his act together. I like this dude, and he comes with some hype. I like the way he conducts himself on the football field. I like the way he conducts himself off the football field. I think he's kind of a cool dude. I want to hang with the guy. I think we've seen his house before. He seems like a pretty good house guest party kind of guy. I like to hang out with him, but, dude, you got to get your act together. Let's see what can happen this weekend. But right now, he's a little bit still underrated for me.
JP, what do you think about Kyle Shanahan?
I'm going to say, can I just push on this one?
Yes, you get one push, BZ.
I got one push. I'm going to push on this one. I don't say he's overrated or underrated. I mean, you know, he doesn't have that much game experience in the playoffs, a couple of playoff appearances. You know, he's got him going this year, so you got to think maybe a little bit overrated this year. But I just don't have the feeling one way or the other. I'm going to have to push on this one, Johnny.
Okay, Prater. Actually, start with JP this time. JP, staring at the sky, just giving the good old sky a nice stare, putting things in perspective, reflection. JP, staring at the sky, is that overrated or underrated for you?
It's totally underrated, Johnny. And I think that you brought up the stars or the moon a few times ago on overrated and underrated. And I said I go out at the end of the night before I go to bed. The dogs do their business before it's time to shut the door. And I like to stare up at the sky. I look at the stars and the moon, and it does put things in it. You get some nice fresh air. I like staring at the sky. I like stars, Johnny. I like stars.
Brader.
What I took away from that is JP never leaves his backyard. why do you guys make fun of me all the time because I like camping. I camp every single weekend in the summer. What do you think I do after 9 o'clock at night after I drink a whole bunch of tequila and sit by the fire? You think I'm reading a book? You think I'm watching television? Ball game. I do it for one reason and one reason only, to stare at the sky. You drink a bunch of tequila, you bark at the moon, you stare at the sky, and it doesn't matter if the sky is black with stars or just bluebird blue like a perfect Idaho day. It's a beautiful thing to do, and it's good for the soul, ball game. Highly, highly underrated.
Did you just realize Prater just dropped an Ozzy Osbourne song title?
Yes, he did.
Thing.
What was it?
What'd I do?
Bark at the moon, Prater. At the moon.
Nice. Story of Mike Prater's life. Prater, tourist attractions. Like when you go on a vacation, you got to do this and that. You got to check off the big tourist attractions. Are those overrated or underrated in your experience?
Highly overrated. I don't like to go to those kinds of places. You can if your family is going to go on a vacation and you type in what are the 10 coolest things to do in San Antonio, and a family goes and does that, no thank you. I'm looking for number 87 on the list. I'm looking for the dive bar that nobody talks about. I'm looking for getting out of the country somewhere. Tourist attractions. Do I look like the kind of guy who has the patience to stand in line for 2 hours, ball game? No!
JP, please tell me this. Tourist attractions.
Prater goes on vacation to find a dive bar.
Does that surprise you?
No, that doesn't surprise me. I'm going to say the tourist attractions are underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to go to San Francisco, I mean, if it's my first time to San Francisco, don't I have to go to Alcatraz? That's a tourist attraction, right? Uh-huh. You got to go to, you know, you go to some place you've never been before. How do you know about that place? Because of probably the tourist attractions that you've heard of. I'm going to say you got to go see a few tourist attractions. They're underrated, Prater.
JP, flicking through the entire rack of posters at the Record Exchange. We all do it. Is that overrated or underrated?
I'm going to say that's probably underrated. I haven't done it in a long, long time, but I do like looking through posters. The room I'm in right now has some old concert posters, and the way I found those was looking through a book. So I'm looking through and looking at every single one. And back in the day when you were younger and you actually bought posters all the time, there was nothing better. Pick out the poster you want.
You know what I'm talking about on that, Prater? Do you do that? You flick through them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's highly underrated. Let me tell you this. The Record Exchange is the best store in the state of Idaho. It's okay. Not even close. And that's an unsolicited endorsement. The Record Exchange is the greatest store in Idaho. And every time I go in there, I don't care how young I am or how old I am or what I'm looking for, you must flip through every single one of the posters. And at the Record Exchange, they have a small poster box, a medium poster box, and a giant poster box. Here's the problem, Ballgame. I've been flipping through those poster boxes for 20 years. I don't think I've ever bought a poster, but I still do it every single time.
Overrated or underrated, Prater? Being lazy, just not doing a damn thing. Being lazy, overrated, underrated?
This will probably surprise you, and I'm being honest. It's overrated. I don't like to be lazy. I don't sit on my couch. I like to keep busy. Despite what you put out on Twitter last night, I do like to leave my house. I don't like to be at home. I like to do things. I like to go out. I like to be social. I'm not the hardest working guy in the world. I do this for a living. Are you kidding me?
Right.
But sitting around, being lazy, I cannot be idle. I cannot. I haven't taken a nap in 30, 40 years, Ballgame. I just cannot do it. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work for me. I need to keep busy, Ballgame.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. And JP, being lazy for you?
I'm going to put a caveat on this. Only after you've done something, you've accomplished something. You know, if I've been out doing yard work or doing something around the house and actually accomplished something, and I feel like it's, you know, I'm going to just sit on the TV, sit down and watch TV and be lazy. I'm going to say it's being lazy would be underrated.
JP,
but only if you've accomplished something.
What about seat covers at a sporting event? You know, you bring a seat cover. I know a lot of parents have them. You know, we used to sell those plastic pads with the handle. Remember in the 80s and all that? Seat covers, JP. You seem like a seat cover kind of guy.
I'm going to say they're underrated because for the first time this year, we were season ticket holders for College of Idaho football. We purchased some very, very nice, you know, they were like $75 a piece, nice padded things. And then actually when we got there, the season ticket holders actually had those already there. So we returned them. But I was glad that we had them because it makes the seats way more comfortable. Underrated, Johnny.
Prater.
Oh, just imagine this. Highly, highly, highly overrated because I've never used them. And for two reasons. One, when I sit down, I got enough padding on my ass to take care of business. And two, I'm that guy at the stadium. I don't sit down. I like to stand. I'm the guy who's standing. I'll go to the Rose Bowl for 4 hours, and I'll pay $300 for my seat, and I'll never even sit in it. I love to stand. Yes, I'm that big, giant, fat guy in front of you who stands the entire time. And if I need to sit, my ass will take care of the padding.
One more. Popcorn as a snack. Is it an overrated or underrated snack? Popcorn, Prater.
Under or overrated, never use it, never eat it, don't like it. Popcorn's bad, get rid of it.
Wow, JP,
get rid of it. Prater wants to just banish all popcorn. I'm gonna say, as a snack, I only eat popcorn if I'm watching a movie, I don't cook it as a snack. So, I'm gonna say it's overrated as a snack, but almost a necessity if you're watching a movie.
If you go to the theater, I don't remember the last movie, JP, I went to at the theater and didn't order popcorn. It's almost half the reason I go.
I don't remember the last time I went to a movie theater and didn't order a tequila shot.
Oh, off it!
Come on, Ballgame. You guys are eating popcorn? You guys are still in junior high. I got to get my buttered popcorn at the movies. Come on, guys. Grow up a little bit.
Overrated, underrated here on Idaho Sports Talk. Next, JP has the news. And where was Kellen Moore today? We know. I don't know if you guys do, but we do, and we'll tell you next on Prater and the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, KTIK the Ticket.
This is Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, the Ticket. Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, the Ticket.
Johnny's got rock, jocks, and pop culture coming up in about 10 minutes and another $50 Blaze pizza gift certificate up for grabs today. But first, where is Kellen Moore today? Prater, I see your hat today. It kind of has a Miami Dolphins color to it. Would you agree with that, Johnny? It's kind of got that Dolphins flair to it?
Yeah, it's teal. So if you have a Dolphin logo instead of the Nike logo on the hat, you could pull that off probably for a Dolphins hat. Very keen eye, John Patrick.
But Kellen Moore, a former Boise State quarterback, current Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator, interviewed or is currently interviewing with the Miami Dolphins today for their head coaching position. This according to multiple sources. Along with Moore, the Dolphins were going to talk with Dallas defensive coordinator as well, Dan Quinn. So here's your Kellen Moore scorecard, if you will. He interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings yesterday, the Denver Broncos on Tuesday, and of course, a couple of weeks ago before the playoffs started with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I guess we're waiting now. Does he get the second interview? Do we hear about the second interview, right? Or are we just waiting for more Kellen Moore opportunities at other places?
There could be more other opportunities at the three other places. The Houston Texans, the New York Giants, and the Chicago Bears are also out there looking for coaches. No direct connection to Kellen Moore with any of those franchises yet. All these franchises have extensive interview lists. We know that because they're putting it out there for the public to see right now, which is finding kind of weird. At one point, I think the league shuts down in terms of business, and I'm not sure, is that after maybe the next week? I'm not sure when they shut down and everything has to go dark while they get to the Super Bowl. So even if it doesn't happen fast, don't give up hope. If you're one of those guys hoping that Kellen Moore gets a head coaching job, this could take some time.
Yeah, and with the new rules, you know, they make it easier for coaches to still interview who are still active. Kellen obviously not in that boat, but yeah, there's a lot of jobs, and Kellen has interviewed for what, over half of the jobs available, right? Mm-hmm. That's four, pretty four good little the resume there.
Yeah, 4 of the 7, great experience. I still don't think he's going to come out with a head coaching job out of this group. I would be surprised if he did. I'm just kind of throwing out my 51% projection because I want him to go back to the Dallas Cowboys. But, I mean, he's probably spent – and to answer to your specific question, JP, where is Kellen Moore? He's probably in his basement in his Dallas Cowboys sweats because he's doing all these virtually, all these digitally. I'm sure he's not doing it at the Star on Cowboys time. So I think he's like the four of us, sitting around in their house in their underwear, talking on Zoom, taking care of some business. But we'll see how it all shakes out for Kellen Moore. But he's a very wanted man, and with 10 hours of interviews, and I bet you these 4 interviews combined are probably adding up to about 8 to 10 hours of time, he's going to come away much richer for the experience.
And I bet he's at the facility. He's at the Star at 6 a.m., putting his typical work in, ending the season, going through the exit process. When he gets home from probably 7 or 8 hours there, Prater, you're right. Sweatpants on, just like JP. He goes to his basement, and then he does whatever else he does with the interview process there. Certainly, I'm sure he's a busy guy right now, Kellen.
Boise State men's basketball team on the road tonight. They're going to try to push their win streak to 11 games. They'll do it at a place that they haven't had a great amount of success at over the years. Utah State, the Aggies, are on a 3-game losing streak, though. And an early coaches show tonight on KBOI leading up to the pregame with Abe Jackson and Bob Beeler. And Tyson Degenhart will be a guest, and he led Boise State in the game the other night. Talked about how he's better now from the start of the season.
I think I'm a lot better. I think being inserted in the starting lineup has definitely helped my confidence, because it was definitely hard not knowing necessarily when I would go into the game in the first couple games. But now I know that I'm going to be in at the start and be able to find a rhythm. So I think starting Tyson would definitely have a big edge over start of the year Tyson.
It's nice to see him. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
Well, I was going to say, ballgame, I love that guy. I have a man crush every single day, and the way he plays, I like the flowing hair. I got a thing for hair. I like the way he interacts with the crowd. I like the way he just sweats and pours so much energy. Can you imagine what this dude is going to look like in 2 or 3 years as a college basketball player? He's not going to the NBA in the next 2 years. He needs some time to develop, and he's going to be at Boise State for a couple of years, and damn it, that's going to be fun to watch.
It is. I mean, it looks like he's going to be one of those guys when he leaves this program that folks continue to talk about and remember. He's been on this show. He was great on this show. And Prater, you like his game? Yeah, me too. The last 2 times I watched this guy play, I've seen a classic old school Kevin McHale up and under move. In the last game, I saw a classic Manu Ginobili Eurostep. I mean, he's a fun watch, and I think they got a good chance to go win in Logan, which is a tough place to win, JPZs.
7 o'clock tip off tonight. And also Cal football coach Justin Wilcox, he has a new contract extension with the Cal Bears. They're adding 4 years onto his deal. It goes through the 2027 season now. Wilcox has been a Cal since 2017. Of course, he's a former Boise State defensive coordinator, 26 and 28 with a couple of bowl appearances at Cal, but he has beat Stanford in the big game the last three times. And his salary, not real sure of on the new salary, but last year, according to reports, made about $3.3 million a year.
Yeah, he originally signed with Cal making about $2 million annually. He was at 3.6 last year, as you said, Johnny or JP. He definitely got a bump there. Justin Wilcox is the perfect fit for Cal football. Cal football's a dumpster fire, and they were a dumpster fire last year with COVID. The worst COVID situation in all of college football last year. His football team was 99% vaccinated, yet the Cal Bears were the only team in all of college football who lost two games to COVID. Politics, Berkeley, all that nonsense. But Justin Wilcox just puts down his nose and he grinds and he doesn't worry about that stuff. I think he's a great players coach. I think he's a smart coach. And don't forget this, guys. Reportedly, he turned down Oregon at least once and maybe twice this offseason. He could have gone to Oregon. I think all he had to do was say yes. He turned him down and he gets rewarded with massive amounts of cash for the next 4 years from Cal.
There might not be a tougher gig in the Pac-12 than Berkeley. I mean, I know it's tough to win historically in Corvallis, in Pullman, but my gosh, winning in Berkeley, they've never been to a Rose Bowl in my lifetime. You know, obviously Aaron Rodgers, they've had good players, but man, that's a tough gig in Berkeley. And I'm glad they're staying patient because I think Wilcox is the right man for the job, JP. Is it time, my friend? Let's do this. Heck yeah. 208-424-9300. Who wants $50 at Blaze Pizza? Call right now. I don't care if you played last week, last month, last year. If you've played before, don't let that stop you from playing Rock Jocks and Pop Culture again. KJ, get us a contestant on that board when we come back. A little trivia time on Prater and the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Idaho Sports Talk presents Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture. The Wall of Fame is there for the taking. Unfortunately, so is the Wall of Shame. Now, here's Johnny on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Appreciate you guys. Let's have some fun. Zach in Caldwell, Prater. We are mega in the 2C. Zach's on the line today. And Zach, let's hope we can get you to Blaze Pizza real quick. Zach, what do you have on your pizza? What's Zach's go-to pizza toppings?
I mean, you got to have sausage and pepperoni, in my opinion.
Pepperoni and sausage. Prater, can you get down with one of those parties? You like pepperoni and sausage parties,
Heck
Prater?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
All right. Let's get you to Blaze Pizza, Zach. You got two lifelines. Prater and JP can help you with one question each. Here we go with The Rock. You ready, Zachy boy?
Let's do it.
Okay, Zach. What rock star moonlights as a horror movie writer and director?
Oh, I know it too.
Yep. What rock star moonlights as a horror movie writer and director? He's in the movie business as well as being a hard rock star.
I need JP's help because it's right there, but I can't find it.
JP, can you help this guy?
I can if I can remember his name because I know Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie is who you're looking for.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie, 100% confident.
Zach, you going with that?
Yeah, Rob Zombie.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
I think Darren and Cuna was going to have a heart attack if nobody answered that correctly. Luckily, he's still okay and can text us. One for one. Well done, Zach and Caldwell. Here we go with the jocks. Emmitt Smith, Zach. Emmitt Smith is first all-time in NFL history for rushing touchdowns. He's got 164, Zach. Which player ranks number two all-time in NFL history in rushing touchdowns with 145?
I want to say Barry Sanders. What do you think, Prater? Barry Sanders or somebody else?
Barry Sanders probably didn't play long enough would be my first inclination there. I don't know the answer, but we can certainly talk our way through it. Adrian Peterson, still playing, has got to be close.
I feel like he's number three.
Marcus Allen's got to be there. Well, maybe not. I know. I think Marcus Allen's got to be there. I would go Adrian Peterson or Mark. Who are you thinking?
Yeah, because Adrian Peterson, yeah, I think he did just pass somebody. Yeah, you know, let's go Adrian Peterson. I like it.
Bad breaks and crooked refs.
Incorrect on AP, you guys. He is number four. He's got 120 career rushing touchdowns. Marcus Allen is number three. LaDainian Tomlinson. LT, the greatest fantasy football running back of all time.
Yes.
145 career touchdowns rushing LaDainian Tomlinson. All right, Zach, you are 1-for-2 here. You can still get to Blaze Pizza with $50, but you got to answer this all on your own. Zach, I have confidence in you on this one. Here we go. George Washington, first president. John Adams, second president. Thomas Jefferson, third president. Zach, who was the fourth president of the United States of America? Oh, ho, ho. You learned this in third grade, bro. Did you remember?
Let's see. Was it, what's his name?
Zach.
Who was, what's Madison's name? It's, God, I got Zachy. Alexander Madison stuck in my head. James Madison.
Final answer, Zach?
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
We got a winner, Prater. James Madison, number four. You know, hey, he nailed it. Not easy. I've had a lot of people driving around in their car, if they would admit, didn't know that, guys.
Are you going to ask us who the fifth is?
Well done. Who's the fifth, JP? Is it
I'm
going to
say
Quincy?
James Monroe.
I don't know who the fifth is, man.
Or whatever Monroe, wasn't it?
I don't know. Is it Monroe? Is it John Quincy Adams? I know he's coming up there, Prater. Are you a history geek like that either? You just staying out of this conversation, letting us look like the idiots.
Yeah, you guys continue to look like idiots. JP's looking to steal things up and cheating right now, but I have no idea. I wouldn't have a clue.
James Madison, appreciate you. Well done, Zach in Caldwell. $50 to Blaze Pizza. Stay on the line so we can get some information from you. Prater, the show is about to get really, really interesting, educational, entertaining. The newest member of our team, our NFL playoff correspondent, former NFL head coach, former Boise State head coach, and a swell guy. Prater, we got Dirk Cutter coming on the program next segment. That's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We're going to talk a little Kellen Moore and kind of dive into his head, former NFL head coach, former NFL offensive coordinator, and obviously a former Boise State head coach, and plenty of other stops along the way. Everybody's chimed in on Kellen Moore, the Dallas Cowboys, that last play. I'd like to see what he thinks about that last play, whether he liked it or didn't like it, and certainly talk about Kellen Moore and his chances of becoming a head football coach in the National Football League. But more importantly, we're going to dive into these playoffs, a couple big games this weekend, ball game, and we want to make ourselves and our listeners just a little bit smarter about these weekend games.
Absolutely. You guys chip on in, chime on in, a Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Maybe you pick something you want us to ask Coach Cutter. Maybe we'll do that for you at 208-424-9300. But yes, big NFL playoff weekend. A lot of people say the divisional playoff round is the greatest football weekend of the year. You got kind of the final eight teams, the best teams in the league still going at it. We're going to be airing some of those games throughout the weekend as well. But Dirk Cutter, former NFL head coach, former Boise State head coach, next on Idaho Sports Talk. But first, a quick word from Zamzos. I get it. There's snow on the ground right now in a lot of areas around here, and a lot of it. But when that snow is going to clear, Zamzos Humagreen becomes your best friend. Look, our lawns are getting bare. They're getting dry. They're getting ugly. Humagreen, well, when the spring comes back, you're going to lead your block and greenage for your grass, and you're going to want to do that. 13 locations at Zamzos. Dirt Cutter next. Prater in the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket. If you missed Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame, you missed this.
Washington football team left tackle Charles Leno Jr. Charles, what's it like going up against your former Boise State teammate DeMarcus Lawrence?
You can put this on record. DeMarcus does not want to see me on the field. He loves to rush the right tackle all the time. You know, that's his deal. When he comes over to see me, he knows what's up.
Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame. Weekdays at 3 on Sports Radio The Ticket.
208-424-9300. We're going to have some fun this hour. NFL playoffs, some feedback finale, Prater. But I've been waiting to introduce this guest, and you know this man. I love this dude. Our new playoff correspondent, former NFL coach, former Boise State head coach, and really one of the biggest names in football in the state of Idaho. Welcome Dirk Cutter to Idaho Sports Talk. What's up, coach?
One thing I can say for sure, I've never been called a correspondent.
And Johnny Ballgame and I have never been called a coach, so I think it works out, coach.
I guess we're even then.
Hey, coach, I heard, you know, I wasn't allowed in the contract negotiations with you and KTIK, but I heard you were firm, you had a price, you asked for it, and the suits, well, they obliged, coach, and they paid you all this money up front. Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'm on a fixed income now, so I need that money.
Coach, let's talk some playoffs, but first let's start with last week, the San Francisco 49ers going into Dallas and beating the Cowboys. That last play, you know, Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, Dak Prescott have all shared their thoughts on it. You know, you've been in those situations multiple times over. What was your takeaway from that last play in the Cowboys game when they just couldn't get the playoff in time?
Yeah, a couple things on that. That, you know, it's the kind of stuff that when I hear all these guys on TV talking about that last play. First of all, let's say they did get the ball spiked, and they had 1 second left. Everybody's acting like all they had to do was line up and kick a field goal, and they were going to win. I mean, they still had to figure out a way to score a touchdown from the 25-yard line, and the odds against that are stupendous. Yep. So, I mean, it's not like that play cost them the game. Now, with that particular play that they ran, there's nothing wrong with what happened there, because the Niners were in what we call a blanket defense, where they're guarding the sideline. They're trying to not let you get out of bounds. And that's the first play that they played that defense on. Up until then, the Cowboys did a great job of moving down the field with no timeouts and getting out of bounds. The quarterback draw in and of itself is a good call against that defensive structure. The problem is that play is only designed to get 10 to 12 yards with 14 seconds on the clock. If you really look at it, Dak Prescott ran almost 19 yards from where he started the line of scrimmage, not where he was because he was in the shotgun, and then his feet when he slid were on the 21-yard line. They could have easily run the quarterback draw and got it spiked in 14 seconds had Dak not run 20-plus yards and just run the 10 to 12 that's what the play is designed for. A lot of people in that situation, if you go back and look at it, they run a slant pass to either the X wide receiver or the tight end who was on the front side. They run 10 to 12 yards. They give themselves up. You go up and you spike the ball. 14 seconds, plenty of time to do it. So Cowboys got nobody to blame on that except themselves. They just tried to get too greedy, and even if they did get it, it would have been tough to score a touchdown on the next play.
Dirk Cutter hanging out with us, former NFL head coach. And, you know, just to follow up, we don't know what's going to happen in Dallas. Prater and I think will probably stay the same. Mike McCarthy, head coach, Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator. But I'm really glad I have you on here. Coincidentally, like, you've went through a process that you just don't see very often in the NFL. And, you know, maybe we see it in Dallas, maybe we don't, but that's, you know, letting a head coach go so you can promote the offensive coordinator to the head coach of that spot. I know you were very emotional when you got that gig in Tampa because they fired the guy that hired you, Lovie Smith, to give you his job. There's only 32 of them. It's probably a tricky situation. How did that all go down with you, Coach? I've never heard you talk about it.
Yeah, that was a very weird situation. I had actually had hip replacement surgery the day after the season, and I was just out of the hospital and had just gotten home from the hospital after the season ended, and that's when the announcement came out over the news that Tampa Bay was going to let Lovie Smith go, and I went to Tampa because I wanted to work for Lovie. And at that same time, I was also scheduled to interview 4 days later with the 49ers. And 49ers, actually, the owner and the GM at the time flew out to Tampa to interview me. At that same time, the Tampa GM, Jason Light, he told me that they were interested in me there. So it really just came down to a timing deal. I feel like I was in really good position with the 49ers, but I really did want to stay in Tampa. I mean, no one wants to move their family across the country if they don't have to. I felt like Tampa had a good young team. And so, like you said, there's only 32 of them. And the way I was looking at it is I was going to get one of those two jobs, whether it was 49ers or Tampa. And I was hoping for Tampa at that point, and it ended up working out.
We're talking to Dirk Cutler, our new NFL playoff correspondent, former Boise State head coach, former NFL head coach. Dirk, let's talk and let's continue this conversation about Kellen Moore just a little bit. We love Kellen Moore around here, and eventually he's going to be a head coach. I'm convinced of that. I'm not sure how fast, but let's just be honest and have a candid conversation. A young guy, regardless of who he is, what are the pros and cons of a young guy becoming a first-time head coach, and how does Kellen Moore fit that criteria?
Well, I think the one thing you're seeing this year, Mike, is there's eight jobs open, and usually they're only talking about four, five, six guys to fill these jobs. They're interviewing, these teams are interviewing a ton of guys. They're interviewing, I think I've read of teams interviewing 10-plus guys for these jobs, and there's some very qualified candidates. The last couple years, the trend has been to hire younger guys. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are in that 38, 39-year-old range instead of the 50 to 60 year old coaches. They're hiring younger guys. So obviously I think the fact that Sean McVay has had so much success with the Rams, a lot of these owners are looking for the next Sean McVay, and that's going to work in Kellen's favor. I mean, Kellen's done a good job in Dallas. And as you said earlier, I mean, he's definitely going to be a head coach in the NFL at some point. It really just comes down to, you know, based on the interview process, you got to get that one owner and one GM to say, yeah, that's my guy. So I think he's definitely going to get one, but I also think, you know, I think Dan Quinn, the D coordinator at Dallas, is hot right now. Todd Bowles, the D coordinator for Tampa, is hot. I'm hearing Leslie Frazier, the D coordinator from Buffalo. Hearing his name hot and heavy on the Bears job. Brian Daboll, the O coordinator for the Bills, I think he's going to get one of these jobs. There's always Eric Bieniemy. There's Byron Leftwich. Matt Eberflus, the D coordinator for the Colts. There's just a bunch of guys in the mix this year.
Dirk, you're not the kind of guy that's going to reach out and give some unsolicited advice to a guy, but if you had a chance to talk to Kellen Moore, based on what you learned, based on the experiences you went through, what's one piece of advice you would give him in terms of the interview process, and what's the one piece of advice you would give him about being a first-time head football coach in the National Football League?
The advice for the interview process is, you know, do your research, and your agent would help would help you with this, but do your research on the owner and what are the owner's hot buttons, because – you know, at the end of the day, that's what makes the NFL different, way different than college, is it's run by 32 billionaires that run the NFL, 32 owners. And so those owners can do basically whatever they want. And if you can impress an owner, you know, maybe it's not this go round, but those owners talk to each other. So that would be one piece of advice for the interview process. And then, you know, just as far as becoming an NFL head coach, you know, Kellen's been in the NFL now for quite some time, either as a player or as an assistant coach or an offensive coordinator. So he knows the inner workings. But I would just say, you know, continue to learn all the nuances of stuff like the salary cap, you know, learn about relating not only to your players on offense, but players on defense. Cause once you're a head coach, you got to talk to everybody, and then constantly be building your assistant coach list. That's another thing a lot of people don't understand. In the NFL, yeah, you can't just get all your buddies. Cause if guys are under contract, you can't get them as your assistants unless you're making them a coordinator. So, you know, continue to build your staff, and know you got to have a long list of guys because you're not going to be able to get everybody you want.
NFL playoff correspondent, Idaho Sports Talk's Dirk Cutter hanging out with us right now. And coach, motivating grown men. I know there's that has to be a part of the job, a big part of the job. I heard Bill Parcells say once, if I have to motivate somebody, then I picked the wrong player. You need to motivate yourself. And I believe in that to an extent. But I also have seen all the hard knocks and all the stuff of you head coaches talking and motivating. How do you motivate grown men, Coach Cutter?
Yeah, you know, I get asked that question a lot. And I think people have a little bit of a misconception that just because these are grown men and they make a lot of money, that they don't want to be coached and they don't want to be motivated. That's not true at all. I mean, these guys, I found they want to be motivated. And, you know, whether we were bringing in outside speakers, a lot of teams do that. A lot of that does fall on the head coach. It does fall on the coordinators. And the players eat that stuff up as long as they can see the value and how that's making them better. Anything you can do, whether it's motivation, whether it's technique, whether it's fundamentals, whether it's nutrition, whether it's recovery, anything that those guys think, A, gives them a better chance to make the team, stay in the league, make more money, get more playing time, reach their bonuses, those guys are all in on that. And, you know, I think I would really say that, you know, you got more guys that are unmotivated on your college teams than you do on the NFL teams because they realize it's such a short stay in the league. 2.5 to 3 year average NFL career, those guys are going to do everything they can to stay in the league.
Dirk Cutter, let's dive into your wheelhouse. You've known Andy Reid since you were in your 20s. You guys shared a basement office in San Francisco. You guys made less than $10,000 a year, and now he's chasing Super Bowl titles. What is it about Andy Reid that makes him so damn good in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's crazy when they put those numbers up, 100 wins with two different franchises and definitely going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. And Andy is just such a detail-oriented coach. And you can really tell that, you know, the players have really bought into him, and he gives them ownership, especially on the offensive side. And then, you know, his defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, has been a head coach in the NFL, has coached with Andy before when they were with Philly. But, you know, Andy, he learned the West Coast system handed down from Bill Walsh to Mike Holmgren. Andy learned it from Mike Holmgren when he was up in Green Bay as an assistant coach. But he's taken that Bill Walsh system, and he's definitely put his own spin on it. Like Andy's creativity, like how many weeks in a row are they going to score on that underhand shovel pass? And they even scored twice on it last week. Like, I mean, come on. They're running it. They change up the look and the motion on it every week, and every week they score another touchdown on it. But, you know, I just think his creativity and the buy-in that he's got from his players is really impressive. And, you know, Andy's just – he's a player's coach all the way. But he also – you know, most people don't know that Andy cut his teeth as an O-line coach. You know, he played O-line at BYU. He's a great O-line coach, but he's never coached O-line in the NFL.
It's crazy. Great Dirk Cutter with us, playoff correspondent. Dirk, I'm in love with Joe Burrow. He's my favorite young quarterback to watch. Everything about him. When you watch Joe Burrow, I mean, do you give the Bengals a shot this week in Tennessee against the one seed? I know you've been around some great quarterbacks. But Joe Burrow, what do you see when you see this kid, and what chance does he have this week of pulling this thing off for the Bengals?
Yeah, the thing that just jumps out about Burrow right now is his confidence. And, you know, you saw that in him in his last year at LSU. You saw the same thing.
And then obviously he had the knee injury in his rookie year, but he is so confident, and you can tell that the players around him have bought into that. And, you know, him and Ja'Marr Chase have it going on, just like Aaron Rodgers has it going on with his receiver. So I think Cincinnati does have a shot at Tennessee. I think a big question that, you know, we're not going to know maybe till tomorrow if Derrick Henry's going to play. You know, Tennessee's a good defensive team, but the way Cincinnati's playing with confidence right now, I definitely would not put it past them. I think their weather is going to be okay for that game. And, you know, so the passing game is going to be there for Cincinnati. And I think that'll be I think you're looking at a 3.5 point line or something like that right now. And that's going to be right there.
Yep. Yep. Dirk, you know, of all the quarterbacks you've coached, I love hearing stories of arm strength. And I mean, I can go back to Akili Smith with you at Oregon, and I heard that dude could just spin it. Of all the coaches, or I'm sorry, the quarterbacks you've ever had, Dirk, who spun it the most effortlessly? Just what a beautiful arm to watch.
That's an easy one. David Garrard. David Garrard, oh my God, could that guy spin the football? I mean, Dave, yeah. You know, Dave was like 6'1", 245. He's built like a bowling ball. But, man, could he spin that football. That spiral was so tight, and you could hear it coming.
Dirk Koetter, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever the math is, there was a time where I think you were interested in sniffing around for the Green Bay Packers quarterback job. They had a guy by the name of Brett Favre, and he was looking for a new coach. Let's fast forward 20-plus years later, and now they got the grand hippie of the NFL and Aaron Rodgers. Would you like to coach Aaron Rodgers?
Sure. I mean, you're always wanting to coach guys that can dominate a game like he can. I just think Aaron Rodgers right now, in my opinion, is easily the MVP this year. I mean, this guy is playing at such a high level. And you know what's crazy? If you go back and look at Aaron Rodgers over the last 6 or 8 years, he only throws like 2 picks a year. I mean, he's throwing over 40 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I mean, you got to be kidding me. As much as they throw the ball, just such a high level, especially him and Davante Adams. I would love to coach a guy like that. I mean, he's been a scrambler. Yeah. At first, it didn't look like he really bought into this new offense, which is actually just a version of the 49er Kyle Shanahan offense. But now he's totally bought in, put a little bit of his own spin on it. Him and the head coach and the play caller all on the same page. And I think, you know, even though the 49ers have looked really good the last 2 weeks, I mean, I think people are underestimating how good Green Bay was playing at the end of the year.
This is going to be the best segment of the week. I can feel it already, Prater, talking NFL with former head coach Dirk Koetter. Dirk, we'll get you out of here. We really appreciate it. But first, just one quick name. Of all the guys still playing, whether it's a coach or a former player, somebody you know, who are you rooting for to get that big fat rock on their finger, Dirk?
Well, there was a bunch of guys on that Tampa team that got him last year.
Yep.
You know, Mike Evans is one of my favorite players. Chris Godwin's now out for the year. You know, that O-line at Tampa, 4 of those 5 starters are guys that we had when I was in Tampa. So, you know, shoot, those guys, they all got their rings. Kansas City, you know, I'm close with a bunch of those guys. They got their ring. Yeah, I'd have to maybe say Buffalo, and they're their Wyoming quarterback, Wyoming Cowboy quarterback. But I don't know if they can beat Kansas City. They sure looked good. They sure looked good last week, though. That means 7 drives, 7 touchdowns. That's going to be tough to duplicate.
Absolutely, against Belichick, no less. Dirk, we'll do this again next week. Can't wait to talk about it already. I'm going to start my questions tonight, Coach. Love it.
All right. Well, you know, you said the best segment of the week. When I was on hold, I was listening to that Scott Flant breakdown of Boise State basketball game tonight. Heck, that got me fired up. I'm ready to tune in and watch that game. He had more stats packed into that 30-second spot than that. I mean, you guys get that every day out of him. I mean, I'm a Scott Flant guy.
Oh, my God. Tom Scott's probably listening. You just made his year, Dirt Cutter. We love it, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk next week. Great stuff, Coach.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, Tom Scott with the glowing Dirt Cutter endorsement there, Praters. I love it. Coming back, which quarterback, and I want you to text this in, which quarterback this weekend is under the most pressure to win? Who do you got? Text it up. We'll talk about it when we come back on Prater the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, KTIK Sports Radio, The Ticket.
We've got your work days covered. Jim Rome at 10, Rich Eisen at 1, and Prater in the Ballgame at 3. 8 hours of the best sports talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Dirt Cutter yelled at me a lot back in the day. I don't remember a bus, but...
you were on a bus. You went to visit him somewhere, and you said something. Can't remember, but...
Are you talking about the Baywatch set in Honolulu?
That was it. Yes, Baywatch.
Yes. Dirt Cutter took the Boise State football team to a Baywatch set in Honolulu, and I got invited along, and I broke the rules, and Dirt Cutter yelled at me for a long, long time. So I broke the rules a lot back in the day. Dirt Cutter, if you're still listening, you were never at fault. I apologize. But yeah, yelling at me in front of 10 beautifully bikini-clad women standing over my shoulder was a little embarrassing.
Oh, those head coaches, too, they are so good at making you feel like, honey, I shrunk the kids small. Yes. You know, they really are, man. I love it, Prater. Great stuff from Dirt Cutter. Prater, now, I don't know how we're going to define this segment or pressure, what real pressure means. Probably the 8 starting quarterbacks this weekend all have their own sets of pressures. But for me, when I think about it going in, I think it starts with Jimmy Garoppolo. Meaning he's really in the only situation, I think, Prater, where a lousy game and he doesn't get to be their starting quarterback anymore moving forward. I think all other quarterbacks on their teams, they're pretty much set in stone unless Brady, you know, decides to retire or Aaron Rodgers. We'll see what happens there. But for me, Garoppolo has a lot of pressure on him this week with San Francisco.
There's no doubt, especially if he wants to stay in San Francisco. The bigger picture, I don't know if he feels any kind of pressure whatsoever. I don't think anybody expects Garoppolo to take a deep run in these playoffs. And you're right. You can define pressure a million different ways, and every one of these quarterbacks are experiencing a different kind of pressure going into the National Football League weekend. I got two, and I'll give you my two, and then I'll just get out of the way because I know we're kind of running behind on this segment. Aaron Rodgers has a lot of pressure. It's a public pressure. He doesn't have to worry about his career or his legacy. But after being the goofy, hippie weirdo that he was in the offseason and really holding this franchise at bay and doing what he did and then coming back and just being a total COVID scum by lying about it, I really truly believe there's a lot of pressure, and he's put a lot of that on himself by his own actions. If he comes back and wins a Super Bowl, nobody's going to care about his offseason. Nobody's going to care about his mistake with COVID. Nobody's going to care about that anything. He's going to be nothing but a first ballot Hall of Famer, which he is anyway. But yeah, this is going to get rid of all the backlash and all the garbage of the last few months. So I think he needs to throw out a lot of trash, and he can do that with a Super Bowl victory. I also think that there's a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford. You don't trade away the quarterback that the Rams traded away to get Matthew Stafford for the reason they got Matthew Stafford, is to win a Super Bowl. And the Rams are primed to win a Super Bowl. And I think the only guy that's being held accountable for that on the football field itself, and I'm not talking about Coach McVay, is quarterback Stafford in terms of taking the Rams to a Super Bowl. He doesn't necessarily have to do it this year, but he has to do it in the life of that contract. And every year that he doesn't, the pressure will mount, and it will be very, very intense ballgame.
They gave away two firsts, a second, and maybe Jared Goff, obviously, too. But it was a high-level trade, and they're not going to blame McVay. They're not going to blame Aaron Donald. You're right. If the Rams don't go to the Super Bowl, it's because of Matthew Stafford. He couldn't get us there, and uh-oh, maybe we gave up too much. Here's a name that you just never hear this dude's name. It's kind of an anonymous team, but oh, look, the Tennessee Titans are the one seed. I don't ever remember being less confident about a one seed going to the Super Bowl as I am this year's Tennessee Titans. Maybe that's a me problem, because all they did is lose Derrick Henry and end up still getting the one seed in this thing. But I did a little research on this, and the last time that's for this franchise, the Tennessee Titans, Prater, have hosted a championship game, it was 1962. They were called the Houston Oilers, and it was 8 years before the NFL and AFL even merged. It was an AFL game. This franchise in Tennessee has never hosted an AFC championship game. The Houston Oilers never hosted an AFC championship, even with all those great Warren Moon teams. So I look at Ryan Tannehill. You're one win away, and you're playing the Bengals, a team that most people think you should beat. You're one win away from giving this franchise the first home conference championship game essentially in its history against either a Kansas City or a Buffalo team coming in there. Ryan Tannehill has to get this done. You may not have Derrick Henry at 100%. You probably won't. Defensively, we'll see. Joe Burrow is hot to trot right now. Ryan Tannehill, don't let Joe Burrow come into your house and look like the franchise quarterback and you be another one seed, one and done. It doesn't happen often. I think there's a lot of pressure there on Ryan Tannehill to give that fan base. And for Tennessee, Prater, if you're the one seed, man, you don't want to be one and done, brother.
No, you don't. And nice job on your presentation there, Ballgame. But if you tell me that Ryan Tannehill has pressure to win a football game, you're kidding me. You're crazy. I'm going to take away your NFL credibility card. Oh. Ryan Tannehill, nobody expects Ryan Tannehill because of what you opened up your conversation by saying. Nobody even knows he's the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. They're not going to blame Derrick Henry, you're right. Vrabel is probably Teflon-proof at this point, although it would be a massive hit for him to lose like this in his first game on the football field. But yeah. Ryan Tannehill, an NFL quarterback with pressure on him? There's no pressure. All the eight quarterbacks in the National Football League playoffs left, he's the least guy with the least amount of pressure because nobody cares about Ryan Tannehill. Nice try, ball game.
And what do you guys think? 208-424-9300. Let's open up that Cloverdale Plumbing text line, whether it's Tannehill or any other quarterback. Give me a quarterback and tell me why he's got some pressure on him. We'll read those during feedback finale. But first, let's get on these soapboxes. Oh, I got a lot of people I'm coming after today. That's next. Prater in the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio The Ticket.
You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket. If you've got 3 minutes, we've got some self-important things to say. It's the 90-Second Soapbox with Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio The Ticket.
You know, today was a special show, and I'm going to take my soapbox to give a big thanks, and I'm rooting for you. Cody Pickett, who came on this program, hour number one, and talked about a flat-out, no question about it, health scare that he went through. And you know, I thought he had a lot of points, and I would recommend other people going back and listening to that interview online because, you know, he talked about he was in great shape. Cody is in terrific shape for a dude in his 40s. And he just did this. He just checked on his heart because he lost an uncle to a heart attack that came out of nowhere. And he found out that he was dealing with some of the same issues. It made me think, made me want to say, hey, you know, what's it going to hurt to schedule a doctor's appointment and just get a physical? I'm so scared of the doctor, man. I hate going to the doctor. The only time I ever really go are when people in my life make me. Like, I don't want to know. I'm, like, scared to understand if I have something wrong with me. It's like I'd rather not know it. And that's a horrible way to look at it. You know, Cody enlightened me a little bit, and hopefully he did with some of our listeners, too, because you know, sometimes you don't have symptoms and stuff is really messed up. And look at the medical science we have now. They can fix stuff, man. Dudes don't die in their 50s and 60s anymore like they used to in like my grandpa's era, where making it to 70 was a long time. People are living into their 90s. Certainly this generation is. And Cody smartly, you know, wants to be one of them. I as well. So if you have a chance to re-listen to that, you should. Cody Pickett on this program talking about his struggles and stories and hopefully inspiring a lot of people out there. I know he did me. Get off it.
Here's some good news for a lot of NBA haters in this town. Here's even some better news for a lot of LeBron James haters in this town. And I know who you are, and I'm keeping score because I hold that kind of a grudge. But you guys are winning right now because the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James are not winning. His magical dream team is falling apart, and the LA Lakers are looking like the LA Clippers of old right now. The LA Lakers are 8th in the Western Conference. They don't even have a 500 record. They are one game below 500, and they are losing games like crazy. They've lost 5 of their last 10. Right now, they've lost their last one. It was an embarrassing loss the other night. And Magic Johnson is out there in front of his television set ripping on the Lakers. Kurt Rambis is sniffing around and ripping on the Lakers. All these former Lakers are ripping on the Lakers and what's going on. LeBron James, when he puts together a new team, it tends to start slow. But we're way past that point right now. So you have to wonder what's going on with the Lakers. And they're not dealing with anything that anybody else in the National Basketball League is not dealing with. Injuries, COVID, all kinds of nonsense. Right now, the Los Angeles Lakers don't have any kind of excuse. They're just bad. They're giving up 113 points a game on defense, and they stand around and they look like they don't even care. They're underwhelming. They're not performing very well. And the Los Angeles Lakers, believe it or not, I'm not sure they can get their act together. A couple of weeks, couple of months left before the playoffs, and don't be surprised. And this will be good news for you guys. Don't be surprised if the Los Angeles Lakers don't even make the playoffs.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Johnny, did you realize that when Prater was saying Laker haters, and I know who you are, he's like pointing at the camera like people can see him, and he's like getting in their face. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, if you do a show with Johnny, stupid ball game, some stuff's going to rub off on you. And I've noticed Prater is a lot more animated now that we're in year two together. I love it, man. Bring it, Prater. Keep it up.
It's not going to be long. We'll have cameras in the studio. Prater will be talking to him like, I know who
I keep forgetting about that. Yeah, you guys, pretty soon you're going to be able to watch the show as well. And I don't know how I feel about that, but I didn't have a lot of say in the matter. Well,
I want to go on the record. I'm thoroughly opposed to the cameras. I will not be more animated. I will be hiding under the desk or taking lots of bathroom breaks. I am not camera friendly. I do not like cameras. And ball game, damn it for you. I say holy shnikes every single day in my life right now, and I blame you every single time. I have no idea what movie that came from. I don't care what movie that came from. I blame you, ball game. Holy shnikes. Holy shnikes.
You quote Tommy Boy, you quote Dumb and Dumber, and you've never seen the movies. I love it, man.
And he dropped an Ozzy Osbourne song title today. Prayer, man. You're doing well.
Wow.
Real quick before we get to the feedback finale, Boise State, of course, on the road tonight, looking to push that win streak to 11 games. They take on Utah State in Logan. The Yankees limping into the game a little bit as they have lost their last three games, including to Fresno State on Tuesday night. There's a couple other games in the Mountain West tonight. Actually, just one other game in the Mountain West tonight. UNLV playing at Air Force. And last night it was Wyoming beating San Jose State. Colorado State kind of keeping pace with the top of the Mountain West standings, knocking off New Mexico last night. So big basketball game tonight. Bob Beeler and Abe Jackson have that call, 7 o'clock on KBOY.
Love it. Boise State, 1-point underdog on the road to Utah State. Can't wait for that one to start tonight, guys. Feedback finale. What do you know? What do you say? Give us some feedback. 208-424-9300 on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. We'll close it up. Say bye-bye-bye to a Thursday and get ready for a football Friday. That's next. Don't miss it. Prater on the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio, KTIK, The Ticket.
The good, the not-so-good. Long form, short form. Tell us who you are or be anonymous. We'll take it all. It's time for the feedback finale on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Let's head right to the Cloverdale Plumbing text line and hear from Dustin in Parma, who wanted us to know that his dream Seahawks scenario, Johnny, is Pete Carroll wins one more Super Bowl, retires on top, and Kellen Moore is the future. Everybody is happy.
That would be pretty that'd be pretty spectacular. Okay.
Dave in Garden Valley asked the question, and I'm not exactly sure where he's going with this, but is there any news on the transfer portal? Well, the transfer portal is still in existence. we haven't heard anybody from Boise State going in today or coming
JP, out. Are you being condescending to our texters right there, man?
No, because I actually responded to Dave and said, I'm not exactly sure. What do you mean by that? And so I'm just giving him the latest news, which is there is still a transfer portal. Unless you guys have any news about the transfer portal that I'm not aware of at this point.
No, other than most dudes, Prater, who go into it, don't come out. And you say sayonara to a Division I, in many cases, full ride football scholarship. Have fun.
It's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave, right?
Oh, JPs. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it's a line in a song, Johnny. Slick Willie wrote in today, Coach Pete, Yuba City quarterback and played at Davis, watched him back in the day, and also great interview with Coach Pickett today, an A-plus show. Well, thanks, Slick Willie.
We love Slick Willie, big fan of the show, and yeah, that dirt cutter segment, Prater, we get that, what, every week of the playoffs moving forward. We're going to knock that ball so far out of the park, it's going to take 2 years to land.
Just one word of warning to you guys. I have a habit of pissing off Cutter, and
Leave him alone!
I'll try to behave, because we certainly don't want him to back out or turn back his paycheck that we're giving him. We're giving him a lot of cash to be our playoff correspondent, and I will behave. I will do the best I can not to piss him off, guys.
Thank you, Prater.
Tom weighs in and says the Titans are going to be hurt by the bye this weekend. They'll come out cold, and before you know it, they will be down to the Natty by 17 points.
Maybe. I could see that happening. Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Johnny said, nobody has any faith in the Tennessee Titans being a number one seed.
Is anybody saying, oh, yeah, I mean, because you always love the number one seeds in most cases. I never remember a year where absolutely nobody with a microphone or a screen in front of them is saying, oh, yeah, the Titans, yeah, I like them to go to the Super Bowl. I haven't heard that yet. They're a one seed that is completely flying under the radar. We'll see.
That extra week, though, might get their running back. So that could be huge. Could be huge. Tannehill has the pressure on him. The last time we were a number one seed, we went 15-1 in the regular season, then lost our first playoff game with Kerry Collins. End of the career backup, Kerry Collins, playing horribly and costing us the loss. Titans fans haven't forgot that and are depending on him to have success to get the win. Ryan Tannehill.
There's no pressure on Ryan Tannehill. Zero pressure on Ryan Tannehill. And that guy kept saying we. Come on. There's no pressure on Ryan Tannehill. Come on.
Prater, a lot of people are agreeing with me on that.
Yeah,
a lot of pressure.
A lot of people eat a McDonald's every day, too.
Prater, don't put me in that category.
I'm just saying that people don't have the best taste around here. You know? Come on now.
Robert in Meridian weighs in today. Los Betos tortillas are worth eating plain. Johnny was asking us about tortillas.
I would agree with that. I love Los Betos. It's one of my favorite places in town. It's local. It's beautiful. They do it better than anybody. This is an unsolicited endorsement. Their tortillas, they're burned. They got the black marks. They got the scarring on it. It's perfectly beautiful. I couldn't agree more.
There you go. Endorsement opportunity for our sales staff.
How many? Yeah, how many free endorsements is Prater giving away today? What was the other company, JP, that he went on the unsolicited endorsement of?
I can't remember. Prater, do you remember?
I don't, but I'm ready to. I had a new hair. I found a new barber today, and I have a man crush on my new barber, and I'm going to unload on his new business tomorrow because that dude fired me up today.
Nice.
Oh, Prater.
So I'm going to do one more tomorrow, ball game.
Ty in Meridian writes in and says, tell Prater a fajita is made with a tortilla. And he enjoys sky staring. It's definitely underrated. And tourist attractions are overrated.
I order fajitas maybe once every other year. I'm not a big fajita guy. And when the tortillas come, I don't touch them. You don't have to have a tortilla to enjoy fajitas. Tell that. Who was that guy?
That was Ty in Meridian.
Come on, Ty in Meridian. Be smarter than that, dude. Come on,
Prater,
man.
Don't you point at him in the camera. Point at him like Ty in Meridian. Come on, man. No.
When I order fajitas, Prater, I don't get enough tortillas. They give them to you in that little plastic thing, and they give you like three of them. A lot of times I have to ask for more tortillas. I love them. And the key is if you buy the store-bought tortillas, you sprinkle water on both sides of them and put them in the microwave for about 10 seconds. They're not even close to Los Betos quality, but they're way better than just pulling them out of the bag in your fridge. FYI, guys.
Never cook in your microwave. Never cook in your microwave. Come on.
Al wrote in today about Kyle Shanahan. Johnny was asking about him. The thing about Kyle Shanahan that is underrated is his value. Most people don't know this, but with Kyle, you get Mike, a Hall of Fame coach that does nothing but watch film and game plan for free.
He does. Yep. I mean, sure, a lot of coaches get help.
And finally, Richard Lowell writes in and says, when you're showering Kellen Moore with accolades, be sure to give his mentor and coach at BSU some love as well. Well, you get plenty of love about Coach Pete from us all the time.
Absolutely. You know, hopefully we can get Coach Pete on here this year or something, Prater. That'd be awesome. But tomorrow, we got ourselves a Football Friday, Michael F.
And we're going to introduce you to Boise's only Olympian.
Love it. Tomorrow, I can't wait already. Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ball Game, KTIK, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 95.
All right, guys.